something other than God. And sometimes things can be right. Sometimes people go to a fortune teller, and the fortune teller is very accurate. Oh, they can tell you accurate things, there's no question. How can they do that? Because there's a spiritual world, and they have a link in through spirits into that spiritual world. The problem is this. As the devil's number is 6 and God's number is 7, the devil's number is almost 7. It's as close to 7 as you could get without being 7. They will give you a lot of truth. They'll give you almost all the whole truth, but it won't quite be all the whole truth. It'll be a 6 and not a 7. And the hook is in the bit that's missing. And the bit that's missing takes you off then into following something which is wrong and evil. And I'll tell you this, when eternity comes, you'll realize that you missed the mark. And I believe Jesus taught very clearly about the screams of the people in hell. He taught about hell as a reality. My friends, in our world, we think that we're too sophisticated for hell. Hell is a concept that the ancients would talk about, those simple people a long time ago. Don't be fooled. Hell is every bit as real today as it was when Jesus Christ walked the earth and warned people. It's every bit as real. I'm telling you the truth. Please listen, it's not my gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have to be aware of this, and we have to flee from those things. But we are involved in the supernatural. Whether you like it or not, you're a supernatural being. That's why you can sense when people have been talking about you in the room or something, or you can sense things that are strange. Sometimes, have you ever felt a shiver? You say, what's going on? You see, we're spiritual beings. Now, God is trying to get us to yield now to his way. And let me say this. Whilst there is demonic activity, whilst there are witchcraft activities going on locally, whilst there's things like this happening, it doesn't put me off in the slightest. The only thing I need to do is focus on the Lord. And when I focus on him, everything's fine. I expose myself when I'm not focused on the Lord. If I'm not in prayer, if I'm not, you know, yielding my life to him, then I can become exposed. But if I'm walking with the Lord, he's got a covenant with me. And that covenant, he just protects me. I just need to be confident in that and walk in the assurance of that, knowing that he's in charge of my life. I want us to go to a scripture this morning then that I wasn't going to go to, but I just want us to read it simply. And frankly, what's the time now? Sorry? It's already 2:15. I don't know, should we just stay in for this morning, Louise? Is that okay? I think maybe I gave the lesson during the... Maybe that's why I gave that, I said all that maybe, I don't know. Children, just have a listen. Let God bless you with this. And because we haven't got long, I'm not going to be long, much longer. Maybe the younger ones would like to go out, would they? The younger ones want to go out. You want to go out, the younger ones? You want to stay in? You stay in? Yeah, stay in. Let me read from the book of Ephesians. Come with me quickly. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Let's read this. Let's take this in. This is the spiritual world in which we live in, everyone. And God loves us and he's got plans for us. He wants the best for us. But there are strange days that we live in. And the enemy is seeking those whom he can devour. You know, it says the enemy is like a lion in the scripture. It's an interesting thing that he's looking around seeking who he can devour. You know, a lion, when it's looking for its prey, it looks for the prey that's injured. Someone who's injured. Someone who's not in worship all the time to the Lord. Someone who's not, you know, living buoyant in their faith. Someone who's a bit injured. Someone who's taken offense with other people. Someone who's injured. Someone who's greatly offended by people who didn't understand them. Someone who's injured. See, so the enemy looks around for people like that because he can trap them. And we've all been in that position. Let's not be in that position. Let's keep very short accounts with the Lord, and let's be loving towards one another. We must walk in great love towards one another. My friends, as I look around the church this morning, it's very important. We mustn't be offended with one another. We must love one another, and really love is a vital key. Overlook my faults. Will you do that for me? You know, you see my faults. A man of many faults, no doubt. Would you overlook them, please? Would you do that for me? Would you like me to overlook your faults? Let's overlook each other's faults. Let's love one another. Let's walk in love. And let's encourage one another. Let's build each other up in our faith. You know, Peter, you think of Peter. Peter is there. Matthew 26. He says to Jesus, Lord Jesus, he said, even if they all, let me just read it, shall I? He says, from verse 31, Matthew 26, it says this, then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. You see, Peter, this strong fisherman, you know, fishermen can be pretty strong characters, you know. I'll never be made to stumble, Peter says, in a loud and bold voice. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. People miss that out. People think it was just Peter. And so said all the disciples. They all said the same thing. They'd never deny him. Then Jesus came to them, to a place called Gethsemane, and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. He said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And of course, he goes back and he finds that they couldn't pray even for 1 hour. In verse 41, he says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So what happens is, my dear brothers and sisters, we get led by the flesh. Our flesh leads us sometimes. And the flesh says, I'll always be close to you, Lord. I'll be strong. I can pray loud and strong and walk around this church and shout and pray. And the truth of the matter is, you know, I've seen people like that. They're full of shouting praise to God one day, and then they're weak as a kitten the next. That's humanity. And this is why we need to have grace for one another. And this is why we need not to be judging harshly one another. This is why we need to have grace and say, you know what? I see a weakness in him. But you know, the Bible says this, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? Why does it say that? The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. For what reason? Anyone finish the verse off for me? We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the... that we don't rest on ourselves. We don't rest on the earthen vessels. We don't look to the earthen vessels. That we look to God, that we give God the credit, that it's God who has all of the credit for what we are. We give him the praise. I can look at you and I can see your earthenness. I can see your weakness. It's really clear. If we go around this church, if I went around this church, I put every name on there and I start with my own name, I could think of things where I can see weakness and I could jot them all down. It would be so easy, isn't it? I mean, that's just so easy. We can see each other's weakness. Ah, but have we got eyes to see the treasure within? The Bible is saying, listen, look at the treasure within. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure's within. What's the treasure? It's Jesus within. Now, my earthen vessel may mess up, and you may see my earthen vessel, and you say, well, is that what it's about? Is that what Christianity's about? That's not what Christianity's about, no. Christianity isn't about you losing your temper when a car cuts you off, and then you have a tantrum because a car's cut you off, and now you're going to get... And someone sees you and say, that was a Christian all about? Well, don't be surprised. That's just the earthen vessel. But inside... But now over a period of time, that which is inside manifests on the outside. You see? So the more yieldedness we have, we yield to that which is on the inside. Yield to Jesus on the inside. Say, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm yielding to you, Lord. Not my will, but thy will be done. Yield to him, and now he starts to come out of my yielded life. But unless I yield, it doesn't, you know, it's going to be the flesh, you see. One of the fruits of the Spirit is, you know, that there would be love. Love manifesting out, overlooking someone's fault, overlooking an offense, loving one another. But let's read the book of Ephesians and realize that we ought not to count on ourselves. But let's count on God, because it's God who has saved us, and this was his design. Let's encourage each other with these words this morning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of the church committee. No, sorry. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father. What does grace to you mean? Paul often says this, doesn't he? Grace to you. Grace is a remarkable thing. Grace in the Bible means this. When you've messed up, when you and I, we mess up, and we've done the wrong thing, we've lost our temper, we've done whatever the weakness is that we have, but we mess up. Grace, the grace of God to us, doesn't hold it against us. Grace of God to us says, well, even though you've done the wrong thing, even though you've messed up, even though you've been weak, I'm still for you. It's unmerited favor. The unmerited favor of God, plus it's more than that, it's actually God's ability then to live God's life. So he says, grace to you. Don't focus on what you've done wrong, all your mess-ups, all your hang-ups. And you know, the irony is this, the religion of Christianity is all about how well you've behaved. It's all about the outward show. It's like all the religions of the world, actually, they're about the outward show. Dead religion is death, and it's the outward show. It's being respectable. It's all the surface religion. It's me, don't I look good, you know, aren't I such a good person? Actually, Christianity is saying, aren't I such a bad person, but isn't he such a good Savior? My Lord and my Savior, my God, who died for me and gives me now his grace. So that I'm not looking at my behavior, I'm looking at his finished behavior, and I'm happy because of it. But this is something that we find difficult to take into our brains and live with. Let's go to the book of Ephesians and read on. It says this, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and Father, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Isn't this beautiful? He chose us before the foundation of the world. Isn't that good? Do you believe what the Bible says? Doesn't that just thrill you? You haven't accidentally come into faith. It wasn't an accident. You're in faith because he chose you before the foundation of the world. Oh, it's glorious, this gospel. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. His grace has made us accepted in the beloved. This is a remarkable thing. We are so harsh sometimes with one another. People are so harsh with one another. It's remarkable because his grace is so rich to us that we haven't had to do anything apart from accept his grace, accept the gospel of Jesus, and he is the one who qualified us, and he made us beloved, and he made us righteous. He did it. It was all his work, all his design. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound to us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to, once again, it's his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he may gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Glory to God. It's all him. Verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, wonderful Savior. So, you may be like Peter sometimes. I know I am. Lord, I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it. You think of Christmas and New Year, New Year's resolutions. This year, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And people just fail so often, don't they? And in life, you may have said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do this. I'm going to set this one. And you may have failed and failed and failed. And you may have failed and failed and failed so much that, in fact, you just give up. You say, well, it's not for me. Then I'm not one of those who can do it. I just give up. My friends, let me say to you this morning, don't give up. It doesn't matter how many times you failed with him. It doesn't matter. You'll never be a failure in his eyes because he has qualified you. He predestined you. He chose you. He loves you. And you'll never, ever be a failure. There's nothing you can do to be a failure in his eyes. Amen? Amen. He loves you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so he just loves you and he wants the best for you. And he just says, listen, he says this, okay? Like, let's say you have a child. If you have a child or a grandchild and you see them, right, and they're 2 years old, they're just like little babies. They fail, you know, the babies. They try and walk, they fall down. They try and walk, they fall down. What is that? What do you think I would do when Samuel and Macy were doing that? You think I'd say, ha, 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 you can't walk. Look at me. I can walk. Would a father ever do that to a child? I don't think there's been ever any father who'd ever do that. They wouldn't say, look at me. You're not as good as me, are you? They never, it would be impossible for a father to do that, I think. Instead, the father looks down and he just says, well, well done. You did a little bit more this time than you did last time. You did. I think you did 1.5 steps this time. Last time you only did 0.5 step. You only did a step last time. You did 1.5 this time. You're getting stronger. And it just, oh, it's a delight for the father. They're just delighted and they just encourage the little one on. Let me tell you something. God looks at us, he sees little ones. All of us are little ones. Don't let the wrinkles on your face convince you of anything else. You're a little one before God. Amen? This is why Jesus says, unless you become like little children, you won't see the kingdom. We're little ones before him. And so what we have to do is we just have to be humble, walk humbly, and say, Father, I just want you to help me. I'm going to get up and try again. And if I mess up, I'm going to get up and I'm going to try again. Amen. And I know that you predestined me for victory. I know that you've predestined me for success. I know that you're not holding my failures against me. So I thank you so much, Lord. And I'm going to get up, and maybe this time I'm going to do 2.5 steps. Mm-hmm. And maybe in a year from now, I'll be running. Amen. In different areas of life. My friends, God is encouraging us on this morning. He's the one who chose you. Know that the hairs on your head are numbered. Know that you're precious to him. You may not have had someone tell you how precious and wonderful you are, but listen to this voice this morning. If I went around all your names individually, I'd like to do it. I haven't got the time, but I'd like to do that, and I'd like to say you are so precious and special to God. He knows your name. He knows the hairs on your head. He's got a plan for your life. He chose you as an individual. He chose you. I know there's millions and millions of people in the world and millions of people in history, but he chose you. And so know that you have a place in God's kingdom and you are important. You're an important part of his kingdom. It says that each one must play their part in the scripture. What's your part? What's God got for you? Be a part of the church. Be a part of encouraging someone as we meet afterwards. Play your part and encourage them and tell them tell them something encouraging after in the coffee. Build people up. Love them and build them up. Don't be one of those looking for faults and a fault finder. Don't be a fault finder. Be an encourager. God supports us. You know, when we encourage, when we lift one another up, in prayer, we encourage one another. I believe this morning he wants to lift us up and encourage us and say, listen, I love you all. I'm for you. And it doesn't matter if you've fallen, if you've messed up. Just come on. Let's do some more steps now. But you see, the enemy says, I saw you. You were full of a big, loud voice, and you were full of this and full of that, and you messed up. That's what the enemy does. He points out our mistakes. He's the accuser of the brethren. Yeah, he's the accuser. But God, he's the encourager. That's right. Satan's the accuser. God's the encourager. And he's encouraging us on this morning. And he's saying, listen, you are living in a spiritual world. There is a spiritual reality around. There are forces around, spiritual forces. I haven't told you, but many times, you know, we've seen demonic activity. Just a few weeks ago, supernatural things happened. There was a service where someone manifested in prayer. You could tell there was a demonic oppression. I've been with people who've been oppressed by evil forces, evil spirits. We're living in a spiritual world. We need to read the Bible and stick close to the Bible. Because you see, my voice this morning and this service of Christian worship this morning is lovely, but each one of us will go out into that world there and the atmosphere will be different. The atmosphere was different at the start of the service today. The atmosphere will be different out there. And this week, the atmosphere will change and it'll get very different. But if we are sticking close to him, it's okay. We're in him. We're in him. We are in him. But we need to be aware of that. We need to get our minds onto that for that to really impact us and for the buoyancy to lift us. He'll never let us down anyway. But for us to have the impact that he's called us to have, for us to do that which he's called us to do, we've got to stick with that word. You know, sometimes what I do is I meet people after, I don't meet have pray for people who are demonized, and there are people demonized in this area. Did you know that? But I don't pray for them in the services or just after the service. I meet them in the week. And I always have people with me. But it's quite something when you meet someone and you pray for them and you see them like a video film where their faces contort and they twist and they hiss. And I've seen many times women speaking in men's voices. I saw an old lady fall to the floor and writhe like a snake in my office, coming out with foul things, things that you would think that she would never even think of saying. How on earth can that happen? Well, you know, it's not a big deal for me. It's just normal. How does it happen? We're in a supernatural world, my friends. We live in a supernatural world. There's supernatural things going on. And by the way, that's not a one-off. That happens a lot of the time. That's been regular in our church. People come from away and visit. Why am I saying it? I'm saying it because there's a supernatural reality. I want us to be aware. If you feel that atmosphere, if you feel something pressing in, run into prayer. Say, Lord, what's going on? I just want to pray to you now, Lord. I invite you in, Father, to this situation. You're here this morning. The enemy has a mark. He's watching you. He wants you. But you don't need to be afraid. You just follow God. And the enemy's defeated. Jesus has won the victory. It's all been accomplished. It's past tense. But let's just yield our lives to him. As we close this service, let's just yield our lives to him. If you can stand with me, please. Let's all stand if we can. And let's just pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reality of this supernatural world in which we live, the supernatural reality of this life. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus, Lord. Thank you for the reality of this supernatural life. Thank you, Father God, for Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for these precious children here, Father God. We thank you for your hand protecting them everywhere they go, now and forevermore. All the children in Living Faith Church, Father, we thank you, Lord. We lift them up to you, your protection being on them. For each one here this morning, Father, I ask for your protection, each one of us, Lord. I ask for your holy protection in Jesus' name. The reality of this supernatural world in which we live will try and press in on us from time to time in a negative way. But Father, I thank you that greater is he in us than he that is in the world. Amen. And we thank you, Father God, that we have a great victory to live in this life. A great victory. Oh, Lord Jesus, Jesus. We want to praise you, Lord. We want to praise you and thank you. And just ask that, Father God, we yield our lives to you. So aware of this spiritual reality. So aware that there is a battle taking place. And that we're engaged in that. And it's a battle for our minds. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the transformation of our minds through your word. Coravasse le piento rovare, merovosse le piete, merevasse le piero cosse, hendorovosse le piete rovare, mendorovesse le fiero cosse, prandorovasse le fieto, prandorovasse le pieto. Thank you, Father God, for your love and your wisdom. For your joy, Father God, we thank you and praise you. Please, each one, as the Lord leads you, just pray. Pray out loud. Feel free to pray. Call out to God on behalf of your life and your family and your loved ones and this church. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we want to lift up those people, Lord, in Living Faith Church who aren't here this morning. The Father, Lord, there may be a pressure on them, Lord. There may be a pressure on them. They may be yielding to the enemy. Father, we lift them up to you now in Jesus' name and ask that, Father God, you'd cause them to become a part of the Living Faith Church family, to be drawn back to your will for their lives in Jesus' name. If there's anyone in that category, Father, we lift them up to you this morning in Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Father God, for each precious person. We give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Thank you, Father God. Amen. If anyone wants prayer, come to the front and we'll pray. Coravasse le piento rovosse le piere, fondoro cosse le biento rovare, Fotemire, posselefante, potemire, fonserefante, chielo vassere, pie